All right, as previously stated, we are so happy to have a special message tonight. We're going to be listening from Elder Picklesheimer, the importance, how essential that fellowship is. We're going to be listening to part one of that message tonight, and we'll listen to part two of that message next Monday night. Let's go ahead and begin with Elder Picklesheimer's message tonight on fellowship. Praise God.
Thank you, and God bless you today. I don't see a clock, so I'll take off my watch. A little boy went to church with his mother one night, and the preacher got up, took off his watch, laid it on the pulpit. The little boy said, "Mom," said, "what does that mean?" She said, "Nothing, son. Doesn't mean anything." Well, I do respect the time today. And I know you're standing. Maybe I'll talk a little while and let you be seated, then I'll read something. You may be seated. God bless you today. We want to please the Lord today and everything we do. I'm pleased to be here and be among good men, wonderful men. Some I just got the privilege to know, and others I've known down through the years. And would you believe it, a gentleman came up to me last night and wanted to know if I remembered who he was. I'd only talked to him one time in 47 years. Not 47 years. Brother Hudson over here, he preached a revival in the church where I was saved in Southern California in 1957. A lot of you weren't even around here in 57. I just got the Holy Ghost. My wife and I both just got the Holy Ghost. And he had just got married. Just young couple. He was driving a white 56 Ford and evangelizing. I mean, tell you, we had a great revival. That one of the first revivals I guess I was in after I got the Holy Ghost. And it was a marvelous, wonderful experience. Good to meet some of these good men. No, all of these good men. Can't have too many good men. You know, if it's right, then it's God's. You can't have too much of it. The Bible talks about the fruits of the Spirit. There's nine of them. Goodness, meekness, temperance, gentleness, so on, so on. It says, against such there is no law. There's a lot of laws against something. You can only have so much of something. But you can't have too much of what's the real thing. If it is, if some people I've... You know, been criticized and looked at and say, now, I wonder if they should be carrying on like that or acting like that. Well, if it's a real thing, you can't do too much. If it's a real thing. If it's not the real thing, shouldn't be doing it at all. But if it is the real thing, you can't have too much goodness, mercy, love, temperance, gentleness, meekness. You say, well, he's too meek. Not if it's Holy Ghost meekness. No, it's a real thing. You know, in Idaho, we're kind of slow getting started, you know. Some people don't hardly know where Idaho is. I tell you, it's not a Bible Belt, guarantee you. It is not a Bible Belt. But we pastor a wonderful group of people there. Next year, see, 05, yeah, church will have been there 80 years next year. And still there. There's been a few other churches down to the years start from it. At one time there was three others. When I came there, there was two others claimed to be what we are, claimed to be, you know. You can claim all you want, you know, but... You know, the proof of it is really in the spirit of how you live. And they claimed it, but they're not there now. Well, the buildings are still there, but doesn't amount to much. Doesn't amount to too much, but the devil's tried to tear down that old church. 1931, an old man, well, he wasn't too old then, in his 50s. He was an Iranian man from Iran, of all places. They called it Persia back then. He was a contemporary of A.D. Urshan. He came there at the recommendation of another gentleman who had preached there some months before, of the name of G.T. Haywood. When I, just up to about 5 years ago, there was a lady in our church who remembered the service when G.T. Haywood preached in that church. It had a lot of history. A lot of old-time memories and things. And but it's not been without its battles. And but I thank God for it. I appreciate Brother Bass asking us to come. Brother Bass is a prince of a man. And I feel as that, I think it was Daniel spoken of, that he had an excellent spirit. And I feel an excellent spirit in the host of this meeting and other men here. And that means a lot. You can't have too much of that. You can't be too kind. You can't be too nice if it's really Holy Ghost goodness and kindness. And I feel an excellent spirit in this man, and it shows in the aura and the spirit of this meeting. It overflows. You feel that. You recognize that. You sense that. I'm reminded of a little story I heard one time of a young lady. She was a protege with a violin. She was acclaimed all over by critics and by experts, and she had a teacher who was an old master. He was of the highest regard and caliber. No one knew more about teaching the violin than he did. And she practiced and practiced and practiced. And one day she got her opportunity to play at a huge symphony gathering and play a violin solo. And she came to the stage and tucked the violin under her chin, began to draw the bow over the strings. The music began to go out to the crowd. She played for a little while and stopped, and she looked. The crowd was just, they were on their feet. They were clapping, applauding, and she had a pained look on her face, and she concentrated all the more and began to play that violin more. And this happened a number of times, and she would look and search the crowd, and the crowd was on its feet and just acclaiming her and applauding her. And she began to play again. And this time, the crowd, she began to do better. Each time she would just do things with that violin that people thought impossible to do. And finally she looked out there, and tears began to well up in her eyes and run down her face. A little smile broke over her face, and she bowed and walked off the stage. And later on, someone asked her, said, what's going on up there? Why were you acting that way? And what happened? She said, well, I searched the crowd until I found my teacher. And I locked into his eyes. And as I continued to play, and people would clap and everything, and he made no expression. He was just very stoic. And finally, there toward the last, she said, he nodded his head. And that was all she needed. It didn't matter what everyone else thought. She wanted to please the master. And when she pleased him, everything was all right. Amen. And I can say this morning, I want to please the master. I want to please him. I don't know how many amens there'll be, or hand clapping there'll be, or whatever. But I'm here to please the master. This performance is for him. I don't like to say it that way. It's not a performance. I'm not up here to perform. I don't sing, dance, or do anything, you know, or tell jokes. I don't do that. I guess I can, but I may be funny, but I don't tell jokes. But I appreciate being here and among these gentlemen of marvelous caliber. Oh, we need that in these days. How we do need it. We need men to walk among us, tall and strong, who hear the voice of God. We need men who are in the fivefold ministry. There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And could I digress for a moment and say, there's also helps in governments. You may be a young man, or you may feel something on your heart to preach. You may be working with your pastor as you should. And it may be the will of God for you just to stay there and never go out. That's right. There's helps and there's governments. That a pastor of a church of a given size, as it begins to grow, he has to have help. He has to have help. You get upwards of 75, 80, 100, 150, 200, 250 people. Maybe you can do it by yourself, but if you can, you're a Superman. Maybe you can. I can't, but maybe you can. I appreciate the Lord giving us some marvelous help. I've got some men there that have been with me 20 years, called to preach. I mean, they can preach. They can preach in any circle, but they know right there is where they're going to stay. Now, we've sent others out, but that's so needful today. It is so needful for a man to have someone who's dedicated to God and dedicated to Him, and he's going to just purpose in his heart, God, this is where I'm going to be. This is where I'm going to stay. Amen. I'm going to read a scripture relative to that after a while. His qualifications. And, you know, we need prophets and apostles. I don't say that not in the flaky sense. Yay, thus saith the Lord. I guess that can be. But men who actually hold that office, if they ever were, then they should be today. And they should walk among us. The only thing that worries me, gentlemen, it worries me. I wonder if I would crucify him. A real prophet of God. You say, oh boy, he'd make us all feel good. I doubt that. He might not make us all feel good all the time. Sometimes, oh yes. Sometimes it makes you feel good when you don't think it's possible. Sometimes it puts you on your knees too. I just wonder if a real, real, genuine prophet of God, an apostle, would walk among us if we would recognize it and we would treat him as such. I hope to God that we would, because in these days, Lord have mercy, you know, two or three would serve for the whole movement. That's all we'd need. By their scarcity and by their rarity is what makes them so valuable. If diamonds and gold were everywhere you walked, you know, they're called precious metals. Precious stones, because they're not everywhere. You don't go stick a shovel in the ground, dig up, well, what do you know? There's a bunch of diamonds there, gold. No, you don't do that. You don't do it. And so, I just trust and pray that God would speak to us, and I pray that men like that would arise, because sometimes I need something. I thank God for what we're going to hear, what we heard last night, and what we're going to hear today and tomorrow. At meetings like this, he may not know who he is. He may not know what his office is. And I don't know if it's a descending order, but I think an apostle could be everything of prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. A prophet could be an evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Evangelist could be a pastor and teacher. And a pastor has to be a teacher. A teacher, that's what he is. He may not be a pastor, but he'd be a good Bible teacher. But we need that apostolic ministry. We claim to have it. We say we have it. But my, how we need to hear the voice of God through a vessel that He has determined. Been a long time since someone has walked among us with a profile that some have had. I hesitate to mention names, but to change the climate and the atmosphere of a whole fellowship. It has been done. And I'm talking with Brother Hudson about my pastor, Brother Reynolds. He started seven churches from the ground up. He was not well known among our fellows. He had a good reputation. He died when he was 59 years old. But I could catalog all 9 gifts of the Spirit in his ministry. Had a wonderful walk with God, a prayer life second to none. I don't mean just in time spent, but I mean in the quality of his prayer life. Marvelous, marvelous. I could stand up here for a long time and just talk about the ministry that my pastor had. But I want to bring something to you from the Word of the Lord. I'm going to be reading from the book of Psalms. Brother Meade did a great job last night, didn't he? Thank God. I'll remember that about not being a vagabond. Boy, you need some roots. Need some roots and to be rooted and grounded. And amen. I'm going to read from Psalms number 133. Someone quoted part of this last night. It was either Brother Meade or Elder Brother Bass, I'm not sure, quoted this scripture. You know, I thank God for men who are of an independent persuasion. I happen to be in an organization, just barely. And some good men in it. Some good men. But there's a lot of men who are not called because of a system that can give you a license to preach. That's not good. You don't need a license to preach. You need to be approved of your pastor. Paul said about Timothy, he said, you know the proof of him as a son with a father. He said, he's different than all the others. He said, all the others seek their own, not that which is Jesus Christ. But he said, now him, you know how he, you know what his credential and his diploma was? How he worked with his pastor. And you know how he worked with his pastor, young men? As a son with the father. As a son with a father. Amen. And he said that's his qualification. That was Paul's recommendation, that he's been just like my son. He's worked with me. But organizations and things, and you get departments and things all involved, and there's a lot of men running around with a license in their pocket. They're not called to preach. And that's one thing that I commend the independent movement for, the independent fellowship, is you don't find that a lot. You don't find it a lot. That's very good, brethren. That's very positive. And I'll probably be with you one of these days. I mean, I feel like I am anyway, but it just happens to be that way. I've only been in the organization 43 years, almost 44. Now I'm going to read Psalms 133, and I got my watch up here, and it does mean something. Although my watch says it's only 9:45, but I won't recognize that. That's what time it is in Idaho. I realize you're standing. Psalms 133, Psalm of David. Behold, in other words, he wants to get your attention right away. He said, look now, look. Look here, behold. In other words, grasp this. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a good statement. But then he makes a comparison that used to puzzle me. It is like, what is like? The fellowship of the brethren. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Just for the sake of the man running the tape machine, we could call this fellowship is a sacred thing. Fellowship is a sacred. You may be seated. The Lord bless you. Fellowship is a sacred thing. In looking back in the book of Exodus, chapter 30. I want to read about this ointment. The author David here said, "How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Unity is a wonderful thing. Unity is better than friendship. Friendship's good, wonderful. Thank God for it. We all have our friends. But I am unified with far more men than I am friends. All of us have a few friends, but we have a great unity. Thank God. That's what God's interested in. I mean, He gives us friends along the way, and I thank God for that. People with whom we can share things and maybe a confidant or whatever. But unity is so important. David said, it's good. He said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, it's like the ointment. And Aaron was the high priest. He was anointed to that office. The anointing oil was poured over him. It must have been in copious quantities. It ran over him. In fact, it was so much that it ran down all the way to his garments and, I guess, dripped on the floor. Exodus chapter 30, verse 22, tells us a little bit about this ointment. It was special. Very, very special. It could not be used for anything else. Amen. Or it became a curse. Moreover, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take thou also unto thee principal spices of pure myrrh, 500 shekels, and of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels, and of sweet calamus, 250 shekels, and of cassia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary, and of olive oil and hin. And thou shalt make it an oil of holy ointment, an ointment compound after the art of the apothecary. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And thou shalt anoint the tabernacle of the congregation therewith, and the ark of the testimony, and the table, and all his vessels, and the candlestick, and his vessels, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his vessels, and the laver, and the foot. And thou shalt sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whosoever touches them shall be holy. And thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons, and consecrate them, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, this shall be a holy anointing oil unto me throughout your generations. Upon man's flesh shall it not be poured, neither shall you make any other like it after the composition of it. It is holy, and it shall be holy unto you. Whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever puts any of it upon a stranger, shall even be cut off from his people.
My God.
Fellowship's a sacred thing. It's a holy thing. He made a large... Do you, brother, know how much a hen is? H-I-N. How much is a hen? That was the main vehicle of this.
1 gallon.
How many?
1 gallon.
1 gallon. That's a lot. And how many... He made a lot of it. There's a large volume of it. Aaron was saturated with this because Aaron held an office. He held a marvelous office, recognized. He held an office for all the people. Aaron was a representative. When his two sons died, got killed because they offered strange fire, he was not even allowed to take off his garments. He could not dab his eyes with a handkerchief. He could not sniffle. Because you represent the people and they were wrong. Lord have mercy, that was hard. I have two sons, John and Jeff. And my two boys, we've just had some great times together. I think in one fell swoop, if something happened to them, And God told me, he said, don't you cry, don't you weep. I'd say, forget it. I think I will. I mean, I don't know, maybe with the help of the Lord, but there was a reason behind that, because Aaron held an office that was greater than his person. He held an office that represented far more than his emotions and feelings. And I'm glad we don't run on our emotions and feelings. If I did, I would have quit this long ago. I'd have thrown in the towel, I'd have picked up my spray gun again and started painting cars again. If I went by my emotion and my feeling, but we don't. The men that are who are in the ministry, especially, we are saturated with this. Like I said earlier, you can't have too much of a good thing. And this oil was a combination. We read the calamus and the cinnamon and the different things. It was, he told him 500 of this, 250 of this, 250 of this. God was very precise. It had to be just like he said. It was a combination of a number of things, and every one of them were needed. Now, I won't be laborious to the point I guess you could if you wanted to take every type and shadow of every element. I'm not going to do that. Sometimes we get down such detail that we almost lose the picture of things. But just the fact of the ointment itself. David said, oh, it's great for brethren to dwell together in unity. David probably scratched his head. He got writer's block there for a minute and thought, what in the world? What in the world? Let's see, what's it like? Fellowship, unity. Oh, it's wonderful. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord moved over him and said, it's like the ointment that was poured over Aaron. David said, it was? Huh. Okay, God, if you say so. And when you check up on that ointment, every ingredient was needed. And there it said, God said in verse 3, he said it was like the dew of Hermon, of the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, and I like this part, even life forevermore.
Evermore.
Life, that's everlasting life. I tell you, our fellowship and our harmony and our blessing together can be so refreshing, it can help you make heaven. He said there, the Lord commanded the blessing. He said that ointment, he said fellowship was like the ointment. The ointment was like the dew of Hermon, fresh and refreshing after a hot summer day. In the cool of the morning, it was such so wonderful to get out there and walk early in that morning when the dew was so fresh. It descended upon the mountains of Zion. It was such a wonderful thing. It was so refreshing. And thank God for meetings and gatherings like this that are so refreshing, so wonderful, because that ointment is poured out. You know, you couldn't use that for anything else. In fact, he said, if you use it for anything else, he said, whosoever compoundeth any like it, or whosoever puts any upon a stranger, it's not to be used for strangers. There are certain things we don't fellowship. We don't fellowship certain people. They may be awful close, but if it isn't the exact compound, we don't fellowship. It's got to have every ingredient, every single ingredient. Everyone can't be missing any. You say, well, they're almost like us. No, they're not. They're not almost like us if they allow. Let's see, what can I say allow here? I got to check it with my mouth, you know. Allow women to have slits in their skirts so much, you know. Hey, ladies, you know what that is? You know what that is? That's a window. Somebody said, well, the slit is not up above the knee. It's a window. They say, it's only about one-third of the way up. How many of you, this may be a little bit, I hope not crude, but how many of you would get dressed in front of a third open window? That's a window, ladies. That's a window. They're not like us. There's some ingredient missing. No, we don't. There's no hatred, no rancor, no evil feeling, nothing like that. We're not trying to oppose anybody. That's not our battle with them. Our battle's with the devil. You can conquer the devil. You can conquer that spirit. Conquer that lustful spirit. It's not a very nice lady who'd keep a window open just so somebody would look in through it. Oh, well.
Praise God, praise God. What a tremendous message that we heard this evening from Elder Picklesheimer. So many things that we can say about it, but before I make any comments, I just want to make the first comment. I just spoke to Brother Alcantar last Sunday, and we got talking about Elder Picklesheimer, and he said the same exact thing. What an anointing that rides upon the voice and upon the words of Elder Picklesheimer. It doesn't matter what message it is. This is the voice of experience, the voice of wisdom, but also a voice that is anointed. And just a few comments I want to make about is when he first started, he said, you cannot have too much of the real thing. If it's not real, you don't need it. And the Holy Ghost is the real thing. He mentioned it again towards the end of the message. He also gave that great story about the violinist who wanted to please her master. Didn't want to please the crowd, but just to please the master. He also talked about our leadership, our pastor that needs our help. He needs our support. Let's continue to support our pastor in every way that we can. Towards the end, he made another comment about fellowship. Our fellowship and our harmony can help us make it to heaven. Wow. When have we heard that before? Our fellowship and our harmony, the unity that we have with each other, can help us make it to heaven. And also he talked about the other groups, that sometimes we feel like they're like-minded, but they look like us, they behave somewhat like us, but not quite the same. They have to have the same ingredients in their oil as we have. Praise God. Again, what a tremendous message tonight. But before we close up tonight, we want to go ahead and make a few more comments about the great things that happened this last week. And just yesterday, Sunday, Natalie received the gift of the Holy Ghost at home. She told us that after the morning service, she went home and she began to pray on her knees, and it just happened. An explosion took place. But I was just telling someone here just a little while ago that I believe that all started Sunday morning as you, church, created the right environment of worship during our worship service Sunday morning. Natalie just got with it. Some things broke in her. And when she got home, she was ready to receive the gift. As a matter of fact, that's what she told Sister Jessica. I got the gift at home. I got the gift at home. That is just powerful. Well, with all this said and with this unity that we're feeling in fellowship, we are going to go ahead and offer up some prayer requests right now before we close up. We're going to continue to pray for the Smithens, Brother Ray and Sister Alice, for their situation. But Sister Alice also texted me earlier today saying that her family, her son, her daughter, nieces, and granddaughters and grandchildren all need a touch. They need healing. We're going to be praying for them. We're going to continue to pray for Ernesto Gutierrez, who is in the hospital, and he is in need of a miracle. We're going to continue to pray for Sister Alina, who needs a healing touch. We're also going to pray for Mena, who is Brother Sid's co-worker, that the Lord would touch him, heal him, and bring him salvation as well. And Brother Ricardo Santos actually texted me about an hour ago, letting me know that his wife, Karina, also needs a special touch. She needs healing. Church, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost anointing just mentioning these names to you right now. And I believe that's part of what we just heard. The Lord wants us to have fellowship and unity with one another. And one of the ways we're going to do that is we're going to pray for each other's needs. Why don't we do that right now? Wherever you're at, just let's take a moment and let's get serious about this. Let's close our eyes. Let's lift up our faith right now, whatever you're doing. And let's pray for all of these names. Lord Jesus, you see every name. Hallelujah. Thank you for your anointing that I'm feeling right now, Lord. I'm praying for Brother Ray, Sister Alice for their family need and for Sister Alice's children and her grandchildren that you'd continue to touch and heal. We're praying for Ernesto Gutierrez that you would reach down and give him that miracle that he needs in his body right now, Lord Jesus. We're praying for Sister Alina that you would touch her, heal her, and lift her up in the name of Jesus. For Mena, Brother Sid's co-worker, that you'd be given your healing and your salvation. And we're also praying for Brother Santos' wife, Karina. Karina, que usted la toque, la sane, la alivie, y la levante. That you would touch, heal, and lift up Karina, Brother Santos' wife. We're praying this prayer with faith in the name of Jesus. We're praying for the body. We're praying for the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Well, everyone, once again, we want to thank you for being a part of tonight's Bible study devotion. We look forward to hearing Elder Picklesheimer's part two of this message next Monday night. With that said, have a great night in the name of Jesus. God bless all of you. Amen.